So what I want to look at is, so like too many of you like leave religion, but you carry over a lot of the religious ideas and just carry it over into African spirituality. So this is what I mean. So if you believe you're being punished in some kind of way, then you are still religious. If you believe that you can be punished for doing something, you're still religious. If you believe that you're cursed and are being punished in some kind of way because of the curse, you're still religious. If your spirituality has components of limitation and fear intertwined in those beliefs and what you practice, then you're still religious. Because that's one of the underlying components of religion, is that fear and control is one of the biggest components of what's used to basically get you to move in the directions that that they want you to move into. So I asked a question on a meme I posted in the community tab. Why was Osiris called the judge in Kemetic spirituality? And in order to understand this idea, you have to understand the ancient African cosmology. For them, the soul was the real life. The real you is the soul that is eternal and that lives eternal. The physical life is a transitory representation and a temporary experience. So when you consider the ideas of spirituality, you have to consider them in the context of being eternal and living hundreds and thousands of lives. Not one life where you'll be judged by the big white dude in the sky. So let's answer the questions. What is Osiris and why is he the judge? Or why is this aspect represented as the judge in Kemetic spirituality? So the Osiris is within us, and it's called the judge because it's the aspect of the soul that is trapped within. Okay, so it's the aspect of the soul that is in time and space with us. All right, it can be influenced by the life events and emotions that those events would create. However, it can discern the true from the illusion. And I'm sure y'all heard the term or the idea that reality is an illusion. Well, what that means is that the illusion is the belief that you have no power in the physical events of your life. Okay. So the illusion, in other words, we say the illusion is real. And the illusion is basically something that's happening out there somewhere, that's out there. Okay. The ancient Africans taught that life is emanating from within us. In other words, what you see outside of you is a reflection of what is within you. Okay, I like to say life is feedback. That's what life is doing. Whatever you're having happen in life, it's your most intimate thoughts and feelings being projected and then reflected back to you as your life. All right. Let's see. So if you still think in religious terms, you will automatically set up blocks from discerning the truth, because of artificial, arbitrary definitions that will impede your ability to recognize the call and guidance of your higher self, or higher Ka, as the ancient Egyptians called it. As a soul who can live thousands of lives, you can be on either side of the finite human ideas of morality or immorality. A soul is like playing a character in a movie. You're a director in your own movie as a soul. You enlist other actors or souls to play parts in your movie. When the movie is over, the actors go home, look for the next parts that's interesting to them. In most movies, there's a protagonist and an antagonist, the good guy or gal, or the bad guy or gal. Okay? But each side has lessons that the director or soul can gain wisdom from. In this sense, there is no judgment of the soul except this. And this is important.
Hey, family. Reginald Martin here. Are you feeling stuck in life, struggling mentally to find direction and purpose after questioning your Christian beliefs? It's time for a breakthrough. Introducing Unapologetically You, a 3-month program for overcoming negative religious programming and living authentically. This is a one-of-a-kind, life-changing coaching program tailored for those on the journey of breaking away from Christianity. My unique skills, knowledge base, and personalized guidance help you to unlearn the negative programming, reform your shattered beliefs, prioritize your own needs without feeling guilty or selfish, and unlock your potential to live life on your terms, and you can discover your true purpose. You can transform your life, throw off those mental shackles, and reach your true potential with Unapologetically You, a 3-month program for overcoming negative religious programming and living authentically. Ready to take that first step? Click the link in the video description to access my exclusive free video, packed with valuable insights to jumpstart your journey. Visit workwithreginaldmartin.com and begin the journey to living life on your terms. Back to the video.
Okay. Did you live true to the inner call of your being every day? I'll say that again. There is no judgment. And the question that is being asked of the soul is, did you live true to the inner call of your being every day? In your movie called Life, did you achieve the goal that your character laid out in the script or soul contract before incarnating? Okay. Religious morality is, did you smoke or drink too much? Did you have sex too much? Did you have sex outside of marriage? Did you use drugs? Okay. Which are all arbitrary ideas. Okay. Because think about this. And when I say arbitrary, let's consider the using marijuana. When you're using marijuana, or people, let's say, 50, 60 years ago, marijuana was illegal. Did a person that smoked marijuana 60 years ago, were they judged and sent to hell? Since it's legal today, is marijuana, or can you smoke marijuana, or it's legal today in certain states, I should say. If it's legal today in certain states, will you not go to hell because you're smoking marijuana because now it's legal in a certain state? Or how about if you have some marijuana, you're in a state that marijuana is legalized, can you then cross the border, smoke the marijuana, and then now it's illegal, so now you go to hell? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So these are just arbitrary things. So, 50 years ago, marijuana was immoral to smoke for a lot of people. In certain states, marijuana still today is immoral to smoke and use because it's considered a drug. Okay, but those are just arbitrary things. So this is how the ancient Egyptians thought of it. And this is the question they would ask. And I'm just asking it in a different way. What form did you live up to the goal you set out to learn and achieve before you incarnated? You created the script and the life before you were born. And I'll just use an example here. It's like the ancients would ask, if you incarnated to learn the true value of yourself, or learn to unconditionally love yourself, did you achieve that goal in that life? The souls learn through opposites. In a physical relationship, you set up a soul contract before you incarnate with someone who might be mentally and physically abusive. Through that relationship, you learn to stand up for yourself and recognize the good in you. In other words, you have the opposite happen so that you have the opportunity to rise up and overcome the hardship. You get to be the hero or heroine in your movie. When you learn the lesson of self-love and gain the confidence to stand up for yourself, then you achieve your goal. You live life true and authentic. Part of that lesson is also to learn how guidance comes to you and then have the courage to follow that guidance for your higher self. If you never learn to stand up for yourself and allow the other individual to beat you down, then basically you did not live to your authentic being. You did not follow your guidance to basically become stronger and live in your own authentic way. You missed the mark, which is the original definition of sin. If you're not being and living as your authentic self, then you're living in sin. In comedic terms, you're living in opposition to your true self, which is the sole goal that you made, that you wanted to become, okay? In ancient comedic spirituality, morality is not about the rules you should follow or not, like not smoking, not drinking, not sexing. It's about being true as a soul to the script or goal you set before incarnation. But you have to learn how to recognize what that goal or life lesson is. You're never a victim. The soul contract is my example of in the above lesson is how you are both supposed to learn. So each of you have symbiotic relationships in this case where the contract fits together like a puzzle. The abuser's soul goal may have been to learn not to abuse power within a relationship because in his life before, he might or she might have abused her power. So in this life, they're learning not to abuse the power, and that's how they're supposed to, and that's why they're in the relationship with you. You could be a person in power that has subordinates. So you have a business or you're a boss and you have subordinates. And if you become abusive to them, then you're not living up to your goal. You sinned or missed the mark in this case. Each of the situations can require guidance from beyond your physical intellect. But the Osiris in you, the soul and flesh, can guide you to hear the call of your heart and spirit. That intuitive call can be at odds with your intellect. That intellect or that guidance can whisper to you to leave the abuser, but and it might put you in a position, or you think it might put you in a position where you won't be taken care of, where you like you might have the questions of, you know, hey, if I leave this abuser, who's gonna love me? Nobody's gonna love a person like me. Or if I leave this abuser, I might not be able to take care of myself. I might not can find a job or do things to take care of myself, my children, whatever it might be. So the intellect will say one, but your guidance is telling you another. Now, in that case, you have to understand that to be spiritual takes self-esteem and courage. Because one, you have to trust that inner self. And two, you have to have the courage to follow that guidance when everything in your mind is telling you that that you shouldn't trust that inner call or is telling you to do the opposite because of whatever the reason. Fill in the blank. What is the reason that you don't do what your inner call is telling you to do? Okay. So following the rules of religion will allow you to abdicate responsibility for your actions and the consequences. You can get mad at God and blame others because he's not taking care of the business you prayed for. God, you need to go and kick his butt because they're doing me wrong. Okay? He's not beating the people up for you. The Osiris of soul within has a job to separate the truth from the physical illusion of being powerless. That's why the Egyptians symbolize Osiris as a judge. It is the discernment of you, the soul, to be able to tell the truth from the illusion. Following the rules of religion can put you at odds against the soul. You'll follow the rules even though deep down you know they're wrong and inconsistent with what is being taught and not true to you. When you're living spiritually, you will come to the edge of experience that of the experience that you know and are comfortable with. You look out, so to speak, and see nothing that's familiar with you or the unknown. The ancients called it entering the void. Do you have the courage to step into the void? Let the higher self guide you. It's not about if you use drugs or drink too much or all the arbitrary rules of religion. It's about, did you have the courage to be true to your soul goal even when the void appeared? And guys, I'm telling you, that's something that's hard. That's difficult to be true. When that void appears, you have a decision to make. And you can either keep going the same direction you were going in or step into that void and step into that unknown and let the flow happen. Your true goal is to live life being your authentic self. Each day you reach your goal is when you live your life authentically. You have to have the ability to define your life for you, by you, and then have the courage to live that definition. You have to know who you are. You have to know thyself. And sometimes you might not know that yet. You're still trying to figure that out. And that's okay, because you can find it out. These are ideas that I'll be exploring and moving forward in my African Mind Rewire class. Moral or immoral is not a spiritual idea. It's a religious idea. You can sin against yourself, but there's no ultimate judgment that will punish you for being moral or immoral. You punish yourself by living life or living a life that you do not desire because you believe you're powerless. You punish yourself by living in a comfort zone that is unfulfilling and brings you regrets. In my class, you'll learn how to discern when you're going in the direction of your soul goal. You'll learn how to figure out what your major life issues are. You'll learn how to get on the road to your purpose and stay on it. You'll learn how to live the most powerful and empowering time of anyone's life and how to use it and create it to your desire, to create the life that you desire. Registration will begin next week. If you have an interest in learning how to empower yourself to live the life you desire, sign up for the waiting list. And you can go to www.beyondthephysical.me. Class will be opening next week, and the registration window will be open for only 2 weeks. So Tamara Lewis asks, what about karma? So karma is one of those things that is so grossly misapplied as a concept, because it's like karma in a way is just like really Christian hell. You get punished for something. But in reality, when we're talking about the soul, the kemetic aspect of the soul that is immersed in the human body is the Osirian or Osirian aspect. Okay, so that's what Osar and Osiris represents, the actual part of the soul that is immersed in the physical body. Well, when you have strong emotional experiences, those experiences are the ones that actually register with the soul. And in kemetic terms, they said that it actually puts a signature on you, okay? That it ends up registering to a point of where it travels with you through lifetimes. Okay, so as in the Osirian path, we talk about the cyclical path. Well, if you have had strong emotions, let's say a racist has emotions that about, you know, race. So that person can literally, if they don't reconcile that emotion, then they can literally reincarnate as, say, if that person was white, they could reincarnate as a black person because that emotion is going to tie them to that lesson. Okay? So those emotions about being racial and stuff like that, and it's going to tie them to those lessons so they can learn what the other person felt like. Okay? So that's how they would gain wisdom. It's not a punishment. It's to give you the opportunity to see the other perspective. So that's how you would reincarnate in another race. If let's say that you're an abusive man and you're abusive to women, you might incarnate as a woman next time so that you can understand what that woman feels like. The person that, the soul that was the woman that you abused, y'all might change places, okay? And that person comes your abuser in the next life. That's how karma works. So it's not a punishment. It's just giving that person another perspective. But I know another question that was asked was about like shrooms and cannabis and, you know, I guess smoking weed, taking plant, stuff like that. Guys, again, it's all a part of experience, you know? And really and truly, like for me, I'm one of those people that believe like, you know, trying to legislate morality is a lost cause. You know, if people want to do drugs, they're going to find, and they're motivated, they're going to find a way to get drugs, you know? So unlike Christianity, there are no things that are like bad that are going to get you sent to hell, okay? There are consequences to everything that you do in life that's good and bad. I don't care what it is. So whatever path that you choose, recognize that you're going to have consequences, you know? And your part of your life and part of your journey is to work through that. And while working through those consequences is when you gain wisdom, okay? So a lot of times your pain becomes your way of being taught. You know, when you get your butt kicked, you go like, oh, I don't want that to happen again. And you learn something. OK. See, what do you think about hermetic principles? That's just another name for Kemetic. So that was the Greeks' names for Thoth, Jehudi. So hermetic principles are Kemetic principles. So the Greeks got it from ancient Kemet. OK. Let's see. Good question. Hello, what can and cannot do on the Sabbath day, and is Saturday a Sabbath? See, Angela, you're asking a religious question. So as far as Kemetic is concerned, there is no Sabbath day or, you know, day that you don't do that. That's more of a religious question. And this is not, Kemetic-centered living is not about religion. It's not about following rules. What I think of as religion, the difference between religion and spirituality is religion is about a man-made construct that you have to fit in order to belong to the religion. I don't care whether it's Islam, Judaism, Christianity, they all have their construct, and you have to believe a certain way in order to be a part of the religion. But with spirituality, it is your own personal connection with the creator. And you are never not created. I'm sorry. You're never not connected. Okay. And a double negative is intended, because two negatives is a positive, right? Okay. So you're always connected to the creator, and it's about you really recognizing and every day working to realize the highest vision of yourself, not fit into somebody else's box. Because what religion really is you trying to live somebody else's spiritual experience from 2,000 years ago that don't even fit into today's world. All the stuff that they taught about how women should be and should not be, that doesn't fit in today's world. You know, women can't speak in church, or women can't. All of that stuff is going out the window little by little. But there are people who are still trying to live inside that box. That was 2000 years ago stuff, you know, and it doesn't fit today. OK, so Dulce Maria gave $19.99. Thank you. And she says, I'm just getting into the nitty gritty of your teachings. I'm starting to see things more clearly and being able to experience peace on a whole nother level. Thank you so much, Brother King. Appreciate you, Dulce Maria. Thank you very much. And it's Rawlicious. Thank you, Adrian. She gave $9.99. Thank you very much, sister. I appreciate it. And Ruben, thank you, brother. I definitely appreciate it. Ruben gave $20. Man, y'all are so generous tonight. Man, appreciate you. So thank you so much. That's the idea of Ma'at, that we become balanced, where we don't let emotions sweep us one way or the other. Okay. So that's really the idea of the soul. So we must see ourselves from a higher perspective, and if we're living thousands of lives, we sometimes we're the good guy, sometimes we're the bad guy. We incarnate as different races. We incarnate as different sexes. Okay, so we don't because as a soul, you have to learn from all perspectives in order to really assimilate the human experience. So, and when I say assimilate, that means getting it to where you're vibrationally at an even keel, to where, like I said, you're not being swept one way or the other, okay? So again, we're not victims. As Black people, we're not victims, we're gods and goddesses. And we have to rise. We have to raise our level of consciousness and raise our level of thinking about how we're going to deal with the race thing. And when it really comes down to it, it's not about changing what's out there. It's about what's changed. It's about changing what's in here. Okay. And when we change what's in here, we literally change our consciousness. That information is uploaded to the universal consciousness. And then somebody else can download the information that we've learned, that wisdom that we've learned. We'll get that inspiration, those aha moments. That's how those happen. Okay. So we think that we're going to change somebody out there, but in reality, how change happens is through consciousness and that loop of consciousness. Okay. Amber, your life is a prayer, absolutely every day. Now, when you pray, what is it that your desire of the way that you live life and what you want to get out of life, that's what you're praying for. Now, do you believe from a negative perspective, or do you look at life from a positive perspective? That's really the two perspectives that you can look at. That's how you're praying every day. It's when you're going to sleep at night, you're literally still vibrating. So you never stop vibrating. Everything has a frequency. So you're always praying. Let's see. Okay. Are Black people extraterrestrials? No, because we're here. So we can't be extraterrestrials. So, but I get what you're asking. Do we come from other places? So, and this comes into the idea of reincarnation too. Because believe it or not, and this is something that we're going to have to deal with pretty soon, because people, we're starting to get information that there's other beings that are not from Earth. Now, I believed that for a long time, that we're not the only beings in the universe of trillions of stars. But we actually do reincarnate on other planets. A lot of times when we're in our dreams, we have these weird dreams. What we term as weird, but you're literally, your consciousness literally in a dream state detaches from your body and your rational mind, and you start to live how you really exist. And you live multidimensionally. You live in other places, in other worlds. You have the ability to incarnate. Once you raise your level of vibration, when you die, you can incarnate on another planet that has a higher level of vibration, that has another game, so to speak, another game of life. So can we as a soul, can we come from other planets? Yes, that's very possible. Let's see. What was that last question? I just see it say, what was the spiritual purpose of slavery? Spiritual purpose of slavery. And understand that with any experience, there is always what we call the light side and the shadow side. So in our experience as Black people, we really forgot how powerful we were, because we really taught the world spirituality, but we forgot. And as a soul, a lot of times how you learn is through tragedy. The if you think about it, in your life, some of your biggest lessons and most enlightened times come after you had a tragedy and you learned how to deal with it or cope with it. Okay. Slavery, in a sense, is like that. Is that we had to learn how we can create something differently, okay? And we really got locked into everybody else's idea of reality, and everybody was dictating reality for us. And even today, with Christianity, we still hold on to vestiges of slavery. When we pray to white Jesus, and I specifically say to white Jesus because that has an effect on black people, that you're praying to God that don't even look like you. You're praying to this being of perfection that you can never be. Man, what kind of an effect does that have on people? So we've had to deal with stuff like that. So now we're having to come out of these ideas, of these really colonized mental ideas, in order to raise our vibration and really recognize our own power. How does African spirituality view homosexuality? That's another good question. And I see a lot of people that come out of Christianity but still bring Christian beliefs with themselves, okay, with them. And they view homosexuality as something negative. But a person that is homosexual is a part of that tree as well and has every right to exist as it is, as they are. So you can't say, okay, well, this is a part of God and they can exist and they're okay, but this part of God, I don't like that one. So no, you're not okay. Who are you to judge? Okay? So nobody should judge another human being for the way that they choose to live their life. You don't have to live it. So allow them to be who they are. So African spirituality saw the validity in, and you have to again go to the metaphysics of it to understand that beneath our physical body, there is no male and female. So in Galatians, I think it was 3:28, it said, I forget what the scripture says. But even if you look at the drawings of Osiris, Osiris has one leg. And again, that's the part of the soul that is within the human body. So that part of the soul, so that one leg means that it is non-sexual. So it's not male or female. So somebody look up Galatians 3:28. So I know it's not neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, and neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ. So that's what that means, that as a Christ, you are male, there is no sex, okay? So being homosexual, that's just another aspect of living life, okay? That's just another experience or another possibility, all right? So let's get started. So today I wanted to address the idea of time. And how does time fly when you're having fun? And why this is important? Because there are some things that are so natural and easy for us that we don't recognize what's happening, okay? Our soul actually communicates with us and perceives through us as physical individuals and beings all the time. We just don't recognize what's happening because it's just so natural. We just like, oh, I mean, that's just how it is. But I want you to understand after today how your soul is communicating with you on different levels and just different ways that you can recognize when that's happening. Okay. So time does not exist outside of our physical body. Time is a construct of our brain. Okay. Outside of the physical body, it does not exist. Excuse me. So your soul is still experiencing timelessness even while it's in your physical body. Even while you are alive, your soul still experiences timelessness. That means that you can as well. You can tap into that, okay? So you experience this timelessness, but you never understood or recognized what it was. Okay, so I'm going to give you some clues and some ideas of how that happens. Okay, so one way is I'm sure everybody has experienced is when you're dreaming. When you're dreaming, your consciousness has disconnected from the physical, okay? And you're literally traveling in dimensions, you're traveling different places, you're all over the universe when you're dreaming, okay? When you're dreaming, it can feel like you have been in this situation for days, weeks, or whatever. It feels like a long time. A long time, okay? But when you wake up, it's only a few minutes or maybe a couple of hours that have passed. Right there, that's you experiencing how your soul experiences time. That's exactly what you're experiencing then. You're connected then to your soul and to your soul experience and how it experiences outside of our physical body and our brain construct and our mind. Okay, literally. So this is something that we deal with. This is, I'm just give you a couple of quick scenarios that we deal with all the time. How many of you have been in, say, like a classroom or a hell church where you are bored as hell? You're like, I'm ready to get here. Man, why is this? God, he's still talking. Good grief, you know? You're sitting there, you're bored, you're ready to go. Well, when this is happening, when you're bored, it's like time is speeding up within you. You're wanting time to speed up. But you look at your clock or you look at a watch and it seems like time is creeping. Objectively, it's creeping, but within you, it's sped up. So that's why it seems like time slows down on the clock when you're bored. Because inside of you, you're moving fast, okay? Subjectively, you're moving fast, all right? But when you're excited and you're in joy, it seems like the clock all of a sudden just moving fast. It's like, man, you don't want it to end. But that's in that moment, in those times, you are literally stopping time. Time slows down subjectively within you. But if you look at the clock or you look at the watch, time is speeding up objectively. Okay, it seems like time is going fast. Okay, but that's how the soul, when you are in joy, okay, let me get my, I had some props here today. When you are in joy, time slows down. It becomes, you are experiencing the eternity of how your soul feels when it's in its native environment. That it just, time literally slows down. It becomes eternal. There is only now. So outside the physical body, time slows, or your soul feels that when time slows down. Okay? So that's why when you're having fun, time seems to fly when you look at it objectively at a clock, but it's your relative experience that is the most important, your inner experience. That's really how time is. That's your soul level perception. When you are in joy, okay? When you are in joy, time slows down for you physically as well. It makes your body, you age less when you are enjoying. When you are enjoying life, you age less. That's one way that it affects you physically. That state of being in joy makes you age less. When you're doing what you enjoy, you age less. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why, man, if you're doing something that you hate doing every day and you're miserable, you're killing yourself. You're gonna age quicker, okay? So find what you need to do and find that joy. And that's when you think about how the Creator experiences, because the Creator is always creating. And it's creating from joy. We might call it love, you know, but it's a vibrational experience. You're creating, or the Creator is creating. If you think about it, when you're creating, if you're an artist, a painter, a sculptor, or heck, a teacher, or somebody that does something where they literally have to create things and they're having fun doing it, how many times do you look up at a clock and you don't even realize you've been there for 3 or 4 hours, but it feels like it might have been 30 minutes, you know? When you're enjoyed, that's what's happening. You're creating, literally. You're creating. And time slows down for you. But on the clock, it seems like it's speeding up, okay? Objectively. But subjectively, it slows down. So that's one way the soul naturally experiences through you. It's so natural, we don't even think about it. We talk about it all the time. You always hear people say, man, I was having so much fun. The time just flew by. You experience that all the time. But that's you connecting to your soul. Okay? How many of you have had the experiences of deja vu? So this is another idea where soul, in that moment, you literally connect it to the information that your soul is giving you. So deja vu is literally soul level awareness. And you're literally jumping timelines. You desire to experience something so strongly that you jump timelines to where you're going to experience whatever that is. So Rhonda says Rhonda's got her hands up. Say, yeah, she experienced it. But when you do that, you're literally jumping a timeline. And you're going to experience whatever that strong desire was, you jump the timeline to experience that, because we got infinite number of ways that things can happen in our life. But when you're going to jump, when you're in deja vu, because you've expressed a desire to experience a certain thing, you jump that timeline. Okay? That's what deja vu is. You're sitting and you're going like, wait a minute. It feels like I've been here before. I remember this happening before. And you're kind of like, was that a dream? What? Hey, sometime it might have been a dream. But when you experience that, you literally recognize from your soul level that you jumped timelines. Okay? And you jump to a new track to where you're going to experience something that you strongly desire. That's what deja vu is doing. So it happens a lot when we are like creating our lives and we're moving into new directions that we hadn't been in before. That's when you start to experience deja vu. So it's a positive thing. Definitely. Definitely. Synchronicities. Okay. Synchronicities are when you recognize vibrationally associated experiences, because we're in linear time. Okay. And they call it the arrow of time, where it only just goes forward. Well, that's not the truth. So time, there's only right now, but you can experience things associated to a certain vibration. That's what's happening when you're dealing with synchronicities. So you're literally, it could be the event can be 2 days or 2 weeks apart. Say, like for me, and I always use this is a cardinal. It's usually a synchronicity for me to let me know that I'm on a certain vibration. When I see a cardinal fly across my path or sit on the windowsill, then I know whatever I'm thinking about or whatever mood that I'm in, I'm vibrationally in sync with something. Okay? I can see that cardinal tomorrow. I can see a cardinal next week. I can see a cardinal next month. But every one of those experiences are connected synchronistically by that cardinal vibrationally. So they are associated vibrations or associated emotions that I'm feeling. So that's a way you can recognize associations vibrationally in time, but they are actually associated outside of time. It just means that you're on a certain particular vibration. That's what a synchronicity is. Get excited when you see those. Okay. So that's a way, again, that your soul is always perceiving through you all the time. It never stops. You just have to be able to tap into it. when you do start to tap into you, when that Osiris aspect within you, that's the soul aspect within all of us, mankind, man or woman. The Osiris, that's what the ancients call the Osiris, okay? That aspect within you is always trying to get you to connect to your higher self, the soul that's outside of you, okay? The aspect of your soul that's in the higher realms, okay? The biggest thing that keeps us from doing that, one of the main emotions that keeps us from doing that is fear, okay? So anything on that spectrum of fear, anger, hate, despair, any of those things usually keep us from literally experiencing our higher self, okay? So I am Kopavi says, it's numbers for me. Yeah, so it's I do numbers too. 111-444, and thank you for that gift. I appreciate that, $5. But yeah, it can be numbers, it can be letters, it can be words, it can be anything, but it's your higher self that recognizes it. You recognize the synchronicity, okay? It's something specifically for you. It doesn't have to mean anything else to anybody else. Excuse me. But you recognize it synchronistically. And you're connecting those dots, so to speak, in time, but they're outside of time and they are associated vibrationally. So they're through associations. That's literally how reality works outside of our physical body. Things are associated via vibration and frequency, okay? And that's how we experience things. Time, in a way, in our physical body is like a marker, okay? So it marks experience for us in the spirit, in the physical, but it is only a construct of our brain. So how does that matter to you in your life? Okay, what can you use for that, or how do you use that in your life daily? Okay, and one way you can do that is to recognize that your point of power of changing anything in your life starts right now. If you want to change any aspect of your life, you can have that desire starting now, and you can forget about the past, okay? And then you can start, you can make that change, start to do the things to make that. If you think about it, time, the idea of what we think about, and if we think about the past, is really a paradox, okay? And when I say a paradox, I mean it's this and that, okay? A paradox is this and that. About something in the past, the paradox is, when are you thinking about it? Right now. Even though you mark it as something in the past, you just brought it to your present. So if you're angry about something in the past, you're bringing something from the past to your present, and it's affecting your present. But at that moment, you can have a decision to make. Do you keep holding on to whatever that is and lowering your vibration in the now, or do you throw it out, push it away, and start to focus on something different? Because that's where your point of power is right now, always. And whenever I'm dealing with like some hardships, and this is something I've dealt with in the past, because I told you guys before, I've been in the position where I've lost everything I had twice, okay? Not one time, two times, because I'm a hard-headed son of a sucker when it comes to following my guides. Woo! But anyway, but there was also lessons that I had to learn in that. But during those times, what I started to do was to recognize one thing that I could do at any time to center myself and not feel afraid or angry. No matter what was happening, I could always say to myself, you know what? All right. Let's see. David Rich says, is deja vu a feeling of past lives? No, that's not necessarily true. So deja vu is a recognition that time is not linear. Okay. So today's idea of time is only they call it the arrow of time, that it only moves forward. But outside of our physical body, time is not linear. Everything is present in one moment. So you think of the past and the present as really different perspectives of now. It is really what it is. But deja vu is recognized when you have deja vu, it's a recognition that you've diverged timelines, that it's actually a positive that you're actually manifesting and creating something. And you've actually diverged timelines. So you met at the point that you recognize. And when you recognize that deja vu point that, oh, man, this has happened before. That is a point that you are now diverging to something else that you're going towards. So that's a way that you can look at deja vu. Very powerful. It's a good sign. It's a good sign. Let's see. Keto says, will any chakra stones work? I purchased some, but they wasn't expensive. So will they work? It doesn't matter how the money or that's an arbitrary deal. So it doesn't matter about the cost of them. So it just need to be they probably need to be charged or cleansed energetically. So you can look online and find out how to do that. But the cost of them doesn't matter. So if you can get a good deal, hey, let's see. Mike Butler, thank you for that $5 gift, brother. Definitely appreciate you. Questions truthfully and succinctly. Okay. So let's get going. So the journey of the soul and really how it relates to race, because I've been getting a lot of people really talking about my idea that this knowledge is for everyone. And I truly believe that. And that's the way I present it. So I present it through my experience. So my experience as a Black man in America is not going to be everybody's experience. Everybody can't relate to exactly what I've been through. But I relate this information through my Christian experience and through me as a Black man here in America, okay, and a member of the African diaspora worldwide. So this idea is about the journey of the soul. And in ancient Kemet, the soul was the primary entity taught about in their teachings, okay? So when we're talking about for them, the soul, what the ideas that they taught about was about how the soul entered the world and how the soul acclimated itself to the world and how the soul connected itself to the human body, the human brain, and stuff like that, okay? So even the story of Jesus in the Bible is literally about the soul's journey and is giving you formulaic information about how the soul expresses itself and powers that the soul might have, okay? So as a soul, we actually choose to incarnate, okay? We choose to incarnate in a particular race, family, and culture for the lessons that soul can get from being in that environment, okay? So you literally choose your parents. We choose the most important people and events in our lives. And like if you end up having a spouse or you meet somebody that's really important to you in your life that helped you through things or whatever, you usually have chosen those people to play a certain part. So it's kind of like our lives are kind of analogous to being on a stage play or in a movie. OK, and we're the actors in that movie. And we are the ones that are set up to be the hero in the movie, okay? So that's a good analogy of how the soul and our physical life works together. So with that said, we are never victims on this journey. And I know for a lot of Black people, we think a lot of times that we've been cursed, and we accept that teaching from Christianity and the curse of Ham, that we've been cursed and we're being punished for being in really the system of white supremacy and racism and being immersed in that the way that we are. But there are never victims. So we came here as a soul because we have lessons to learn, okay? So all the major emotional events are set up to help us gain wisdom, to elevate in consciousness as a soul, and to connect to your higher self as a physical being. So our soul, you can think of it kind of like our bodies are to the soul. A lot of times in dream imagery, our bodies are imaged as like a car or some type of a vehicle that our soul is inside of. Okay, so dream imagery, that's what it is. So the soul is driving the car, but the car can sometimes get out of control. And that can be us emotionally, us egotistically. So it's a symbiotic relationship that sometimes the soul, a body can be and a brain can be so emotionally out of control that the soul cannot control it, okay? This person loses the connection in a sense where they don't know or follow their intuition or anything like that. It could be due to mental illness. It could be due to a lot of things. But sometimes the soul can get to where it can't communicate intuitively with the physical brain. Okay. So that literally can happen. Okay. So as a soul, the most difficult lives are the ones that give us and gain that we gain the most wisdom from. So when you really have a difficult life you're getting your behind beat up, you know, quite often, then usually that's the life that you gain the most wisdom from. If you have an easy life, then you really don't go through any trials because in a sense you gain wisdom through opposites. So in other words, if you want to learn self-love, then you're going to be put in a position to where people don't love you. You're going to be put in a position where you're not appreciated. You're going to be put in a position where you might be put down because of how you look, your skin color, your hair, your race. So stuff like that. So that's kind of the wisdom that as Black people in this system of white supremacy and racism, that's a lesson for us collectively. That we're having to work through, okay? But the deal is that a lot of times as Black people, we get angry at white people because of the role that they're playing in our stage play, okay? So the system itself of white supremacy and racism is giving us the opportunity to rise above it, okay? But a lot of times the way that we as Black people look at it is we want white people to change. And really the idea comes down to our thinking is implied. The implied thinking is that if you change, my life will be better. That's a victim's mentality, okay? Because the victim can only hope the perpetrator will change. Because the victim feels powerless. And in this life, from a soul perspective, we are not powerless. We got to remember who we are, okay? So both of us, race-wise, we're in a dance, okay? And we both have lessons to learn from each other, all right? So a lot of times what happens with whites is they project their fears onto us, you know? They project their fears about sexuality, their fears about their subconscious, because the dark is the subconscious, the unknown. So that's how we've been treated in a certain way where it's because of their fears. OK. And we're fearful because we feel like they're trying to annihilate us. But both of us have lessons to learn from each other, okay? And until we as humanity recognize the victim-perpetrator roles and we rise above those, then we're going to keep struggling with this race construct because it really is comes down to there is no race, there's only the human race, you know? So there's no differences in the races, okay? So as long as we see ourselves as a victim, we won't learn our lessons and we will not advance as a people. All right. So that's what I'm trying to get people to understand here is that, yes, there is a struggle, definitely. But we have to rise above the struggle and we have to look at it from a soul level perspective. And we have to look at it from the perspective of if you were a soul, or not if you were, you are a soul that literally lives thousands of lives. And if you live thousands of lives, then you incarnate, you know, it's like being on a roller coaster. You know, when you're on the roller coaster, it might seem kind of scary. You might seem kind of afraid. But from a soul perspective, you know, you're going to get off the roller coaster at some point and then you'll get on it again. But you'll be in another form, another physical body. OK, so the fear that you have, that's one of the things that all of humanity that we have to work through is those fears and become balanced. OK.